Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thy will be done. That's how Jesus ended each of the three prayers he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. But that's not how he began those three prayers, is it? He began his prayers being troubled, distressed, and exceedingly sorrowful, even to death, Mark told us. He began his prayers pleading for the watchfulness and the encouragement of his friends, especially Peter, James, and John. He began his prayers earnestly begging his Father in heaven to take this cup from him, to make a different way for the human race to be redeemed, a way that didn't involve the great agony that he knew awaited him in just a few moments. He dreaded the cup that was being poured out for him to drink. He wasn't eager to drink it. It wasn't easy for him to pray, "Thy will be done." What's more, he had a choice, unlike us. We don't always have a choice whether or not to suffer. We're all subject to various kinds of suffering in this world because we're sinners. We're subject to the curse that's on this world, but Jesus wasn't. As we heard yesterday in St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus told Peter he could have asked his Father at any moment, and his Father would have sent 12 legions of angels to deliver him from his enemies and from the devil. He had a choice. He had a choice because he was an innocent man, a sinless man. And a sinless man never has to suffer in this world. A sinless man never has to die. He is protected by God's own law and promises. And God would have to deny himself before he could force a sinless man to suffer and die. So Jesus had a choice, a sinless choice, either way. Which would he choose? To avoid the suffering for himself, the suffering that he didn't deserve, or to drink the cup of suffering that mankind does deserve? In the end, he chose to leave the decision in the hands of his dear Father. "Thy will be done." Whatever it is. "More than anything, Father, I want to do what you know is best. And if it's best, I suffer willingly, whatever you would have me suffer." And clearly, given the result, there was no other way to redeem the fallen human race, or else the Father would never have willed for his Son to drink that terrible cup. You know how hard it is to pray, "Thy will be done," and to mean it. You know how hard it is to set aside your own desires, your own wishes, your own control over your own life. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are prone to complain when we suffer. We're prone to choose a sinful path or the path of least resistance rather than the path that honors God. And some people fall into such despair and unbelief that they choose to end their suffering, to end their life, rather than to submit to the Father's will, rather than to pray, "Thy will be done." So let the perfect example, the loving example of Jesus, first bring you to repentance for the desire that lives at the bottom of your heart to have your will trump God's will. And above all, trust in the one who became obedient to death. Because his submission covers your complaining. His trust in his Father's will earned a pardon for all your distrust. Give thanks to God and learn from Jesus to pray, "Thy will be done," even when it's hard, even when it hurts. Be ready to drink whatever cup the Father pours for you, because you know that God's will is truly best. It meant great suffering for Jesus, but in the end it was good. It was right. It purchased the kingdom of heaven for us. God's will may allow pain and suffering, which may be to discipline us, or which may be, as in the case of Jesus, to accomplish an even greater purpose. Learn to trust like Jesus did. Learn to pray, "Thy will be done," in every prayer, in every circumstance, and then, like Jesus, embrace the will of your Heavenly Father. Your Father will not abandon you. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.